Thank you, Lord.
Good morning and praise the Lord, saints.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready to praise the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Woke up nice and happy. A little pep in my step. Amen. Let's just worship together.
Bye.
Brother Aaron, we pray for the offering this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. For all your blessings, Father, for being so faithful and true to us, your people, always seeing to our needs, Father. And let us, amen, give back to you, Father, with a cheerful heart. And thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. Heart becomes free, then my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory guides what our heart longs for, to be yours.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
What a beautiful presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing like getting ourselves all full of His Spirit, pumped up. Praise God. No better place to be in His presence. It's awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank God for what we can experience and what we feel.
Amen.
What we know is real.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, there's nothing like it.
Amen.
Nothing like it.
Amen.
I appreciate His goodness, His mercy, His grace. This afternoon, we're going to have a treat. Some of the younger generation is going to, they have a special for us this afternoon, so we're going to turn them loose. A couple of Brother Wethy's children and Brother Dane, and I don't know who else is all involved in this, but praise God, they're going to bless us this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that. We've been listening to them. They've been downstairs, and amen, they're getting with it. Making a joyful noise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to be blessed by them this afternoon. I thank everybody for, you know, I've been praying, and I've been asking the Lord just to kind of, you know, for confirmation on what to do after today, and I'm just waiting to hear from Him. And I know Brother Wethy and I talked about it a little bit before He came, and if there was a possibility that we would go on from today, then we will. So that's kind of what I've been praying for. I want to be sure I hear the voice of God, and amen. I know we have been truly blessed. We have been truly blessed.
Amen.
There's been a lot of things going on and a lot of things happening. Of course, we had to cancel Friday evening service because of the weather. But like I said, we've made up with it last night. I think, boy, that was awesome last night.
Amen.
Presence of God, the ministry, and amen, what we heard and what we felt. And I believe there's more to come. There's a lot of things going on in this world, but I'm glad there's things going on here in the house of God.
Amen.
That would compel us to draw near unto Him. And so that's why we're here. We're not fooling around. We're not playing church. We're engaging in something that is real.
Amen.
So that's the reason why I always look forward to it. And are they going to be Sunday, the younger classes today? Okay. Yeah. So all of the younger generation, the two classes can be dismissed and you can be on to your... And that's probably most of our congregation this morning. Praise God. Yep. Yeah. That's what you call being thinned out. It's almost like my hair on top here. Yep. Praise God. But I'm glad we're here.
Amen.
Yep, I you know, I go to my barber, his name is Larry. And he was cutting my hair one day, and I said, could you get it a little bit closer on top, just a little bit shorter? He said, Harold, if I did that, he said, you would see the top of your head. So I said, oh, really? He said, yep, you're thinning out up there. I hate to say it, but. So I said, okay, well, I'll leave it just like it is. And I, praise God. So I guess we have to accept the things that happen, and we have to accept you know, the facts that where things change. And sometimes we might not think they're so good, but praise God, we just have to do it anyway, I guess. We can't. Nothing we can do about that. So I told him, I said, go ahead and leave it alone, man. That's what you think. That's the length it has to be. It has to be that way. Praise God. So that's something about life, isn't it? I have been overwhelmed. I just have been overwhelmed with his presence. And man, there's nothing, you know, to be able to be in the position that you and I are, where we are right now in our lives. And I'm not just talking about in the house of God. I'm talking about us personally, what takes place in our being. And it's really important for you to understand that, the things that happen with us personally obviously and definitely affects everything around us.
Right.
And my concern is you know, we see so much happening with, you know, not just with ourselves, but with others, and the things that we see and the things that we feel. And obviously, sometimes there's always turmoil there. Sometimes it can be unsettling, chaotic, things like that. So that's a concern of mine. That's a concern of mine. And when you think about that, when you think about those things that exist, that activity, you know, it definitely does. It's bothersome. It troubles. And obviously, God has called us to experience and to live a better life. And so, you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 14, and we'll just take our liberty and take our time, and I'm in no hurry if you are. And we're gonna hear some great preaching this afternoon. And I just want to be able to absorb everything that God is pouring out upon us. Man.
Amen.
I mentioned something last night. I mentioned the opportunity. The opportunities we have. That's why we need to take advantage of every opportunity God gives us.
Right.
Especially in his house. And you know, the writer in the book of Psalms was writing, and he mentioned, he said, you know, about the house of God. He said that we're fed with the finest of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we receive from the Word of God, what is given to us, is something that, you know, a lot of times we may not look at it that way. We may see it differently, but that's what happens to us. That's our experience. God gives us his best.
Mm-hmm.
And he always offers us, amen, that in his house. And so we are definitely people that can receive of his goodness. And we can be blessed because of that. We can take what we have received, and we can go in our lives, definitely can be blessed. And I believe that's the will of God for each and every one of us. What really makes a difference in our lives, and you read here in chapter 14, if I gave you a chapter, in verse number 17, look what he says. He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, I don't want to pay so much attention to that, as Paul is talking about the dietary laws. He's speaking about that in the preceding passages of the scriptures. But he says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But look what he says. This is what the kingdom of God is. He says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. These three that he mentions, these three words, righteousness and joy and peace, so much contained in each one of those, amen, that we need to understand. And in another place, and if you didn't go there, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20, he said this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So these two pieces of scripture. Now, obviously, when you read it, you know, maybe people will get something different when they read it. Maybe your interpretation will be somewhat different than mine. But this is the thought that, that was given, that was laid upon my heart. And it is because of, probably where we are right now and what is there in our life, what is present in our life. And like I said, the what determines what is in our environment, what is around us, is what we harbor here. Mm-hmm. It's what's in our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's what's in our minds. It's what's in our spirit. And so thinking about these two passages of scripture and trying to get an understanding of what it was that, you know, the Lord was showing me, and this is the thought that came to me, and in this fashion it said, the power of His presence. The power of God's presence. We can all feel His presence in here this morning, can't we?
Amen.
Man, we walk in here and it's obvious, it's very obvious. His presence is here in you know, a mighty way, in a special way, in a beautiful way. And we feel it and we can acknowledge it. Man, this is a beautiful feeling, isn't it? Sometimes, how many of you get to that point where you experience something like this and you say, man, I want to feel this way all the time.
Right.
I want to be able to feel this virtue all the time, because it's beautiful, isn't it? You come into the presence of God, you can experience that. And there's a lot of things that emanate from it. There's a lot of things that come out of it. And we could go down the list and we could talk about love. We can talk about, of course, what he's talking about, joy, peace. All these things that just come from that, from his presence. And it's an experience that is totally different than anything else. There's nothing that can compare to it. So obviously the presence of God is here. And to be able to tap into that, to be able to take what we feel and to basically, the goal is, the objective of, should be of each and every one of us, is to let that feeling increase and abound in our lives, in us. Because this is where it needs to start, right here. Needs to start right here in your mind, needs to start in your heart, needs to start in your spirit. So when you take that and you let it prevail, let me tell you something, here's the thing, the outcome is going to be, your life is going to change. You're going to change. And I believe it's very evident, because Paul talks about that. He mentions that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new.
Amen.
So there's that evidence of change when we experience the presence of God. We walk into that dimension of His Spirit where, man, things begin to take place and things begin to happen. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
It's very beautiful. So that's the power of His presence.
Amen.
The power of His presence. Sometimes our mind seems to go to that place where, man, I love that feeling. How many love being in the presence of God?
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.
You know, and we want to abide there. Mm-hmm. We want to abide there. We don't want to feel anything else. We don't want to go anywhere else where we can't feel His presence.
Right.
And amen. Experience that. And you think about it. So when we talk about that, we talk about, you know, our being, who we are individually. So who you are individually obviously is going to affect everything around you, your environment. I'm getting up in years. Certain things are changing in my life. I understand that. I know that. One thing that I know I dearly love is peace.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Amen.
I just enjoy the peace of God.
Amen.
To me, it's a lot better than all the chaos I used to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Yes.
I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you love like to be happy?
Yes.
I love the joy of the Lord.
Right. Amen.
I've never felt true joy, true happiness before in the world. I mean, the happiness of the world is always short-lived.
Amen.
It's just for a moment and it's gone. But the joy of the Lord lasts forever.
Amen.
It's always there. And to be able to be in a place where you're actually really happy.
Right.
You're happy with yourself. You're happy with everything that is around you.
Right.
Being in that state of mind. Being in that state of being.
Yep.
Woo.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's kind of, when that gets interrupted or when it begins, when it's infringed upon, you know, I kind of get, oh, man. I just, you know, it's something that doesn't set right with me. And I think that's about the only time I ever become grouchy. Amen. We get grouchy every now and then, don't we?
Amen.
Be honest with yourself.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you think about that in joy, peace, love, all that, all those things exist as a result of His presence. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us. We sang that song in worship this morning. His Spirit, His Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, amen, that's what quickens us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes these virtues alive in us. So we'll be able to experience them. We go, man, that is something. I can remember the first time I ever encountered the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt anything like it before.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, and here's the way I responded to it. This is too good to be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so here we are. We're trying to somehow come to that place where we can really understand that. But you know, all we have to do is not so much trying to figure it out, but just obey and let God have liberty in our lives.
Amen.
And when we do that, when we can access His presence, coming into that place where we can, amen, walk into the kingdom of God, enter into the kingdom of God, we're going to experience that. That's going to be a reality in our lives. And amen, as far as I know, I don't want to change that for anything. Anything that comes along as far as the sin and world and everything. So we talk about our being and our personal environment. Our personal environment. It's kind of something, my concern is a lot of people come here and God touches them. God touches them and they feel that, and they know there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
They know there's something different about it. There's something good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But did you realize this? God doesn't touch us just so we can experience that feeling just that one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He touches us so that we can see, we can experience that, we can taste and see that He is good.
Amen.
So that we can understand and or come to an understanding and realization that, amen, this is not a one-time experience. This is something that we can experience every day.
Yes.
Every step that we take,
yes,
we can walk and we can experience these virtues.
Right.
They can be present in our life. We can abide in them. So as a result, what happens? It's going to change not just our being, but it's going to change your environment.
Amen.
Your environment. So listen to this. When we talk about environment, I'm talking about, you know, and I'll give you a definition. Environment is the surroundings. The surroundings. What's around you? Your surroundings or conditions. Your surrounding are conditions in which a person, a animal, or a plant lives and operates. Ooh. That's where we exist. Where we exist. Everything around us. Everything that's there. Like he says. The conditions. The conditions. Where we live, where we operate.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may be good, and maybe some of them not so good. Mm-hmm. So you think about that. And here's another definition that comes right along with it. It says the setting are conditions in which a particular activity is carried on. So it's what happens around us, everything that is there. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. What's present in your life right now?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
What's your environment like?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But let me remind you, let's go back. Just take a step back a little bit. What you experience in your environment, whatever it is that is there. Of course, obviously, when our environment is such where it's unsettled and there's no really kind of peace or anything like that there, guess what? We're troubled, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're troubled by that.
Amen.
Because there's certain things that we cannot, you know, we were never created to live in certain environments.
Right.
We were never created to experience certain things that happen in our lives. Disturbances. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to give you an example, violence,
mm-hmm.
anger,
amen.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Right.
All these things, chaotic dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind, the human mind, just, you know, it kind of gets, it cannot really confront it. It doesn't know how to deal with it.
Right.
We respond to it different ways, but we were never created to live in that environment. We were never created to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
We were created to know what love was all about.
Amen.
We were created to know what joy is all about and what peace is all about.
Mm-hmm.
That was the environment that the Lord created for you and I.
Yes.
So right now, because of people, they live in that environment where their environment is chaotic and the environment, you know, it's churning. There's movement there that, you know, and it's, you know, it brings a lot of, worry and frustration and anger and all this fear and all this. It's unsettling. So it obviously has this effect on us. And you know, when it happens, we just don't know, you know, what we can do. Because we right now, some people don't have the power to control it.
Right. Amen.
Right. And you probably can relate to what I'm saying. Because we used to live in that environment.
Amen. right. Amen.
We used to live there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we used to experience on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God he got us out of the hell holes.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Wow. Amen.
And it's different. Right. How many of you like the place you're in right now?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right.
So you think about it. So. You know, we tend to go there, and I don't know, you know, and I, obviously this is what everybody obviously experiences, what they think and what is there as far as their being is concerned and as far as their life and their environment, the things that exist here. But here we have the Lord ministering to us and trying to obviously, now listen to this. Bring us back to that place.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I say that? Well, you go in the scripture, you can go there with me. In the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis chapter 2. Way back in the beginning.
Yes.
Amen. And look what he says there. Look what the Lord did for us. Look what the Lord created for us. In verse number 8, it says in chapter 2, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden.
Yes.
And there he put the man whom he had formed.
Right.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food.
Right.
The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Look down into verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Amen.
When we look at this passage of scripture, of course, when we talk about, you know, what God did for us in the beginning, what he created for us, that world that he created for us to live in, it was a perfect world.
Amen.
It was a perfect world. Everything that pertained to living in life was in that place. A lot of people like to refer to this as paradise. And you go in and you take a look at what existed. And of course, if you look up that word paradise, one of the first definitions you'll come to is that the abode of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
So obviously they understand that that was paradise.
Right.
Why? Everything was there for us.
Right.
That's how much God loved his creation.
Right.
He created it so that you and I, obviously, here's the thing, you and I could live a good life. And all the resources that we needed to live that life were all there placed in that Garden of Eden,
right,
in that paradise.
Amen.
But what really made it special wasn't just everything that was there. It wasn't the trees, amen, the vegetation. Wasn't just the animal life, everything that was there in that garden. Of course, he created everything beautiful. The Bible says, like he said, everything that was good to the sight. I mean, you can look at it and you go, wow, what a beautiful place. What a beautiful place for mankind to live. But that's how much God thought about, amen, mankind.
Amen.
He said, I want them to be able to have a good life and experience the blessings, my blessings,
yes,
that I created for them. Man, that's how good God is to us.
Amen.
That's how good he is to us. So that's the environment that he put, amen, them in.
Yes.
So that when they walked and when they sing, everything there, guess what? It was just so beautiful.
Right.
My. But if you look back and you see there in that garden, there was no sickness.
Right.
There was no pain.
Right.
There was no suffering.
Right.
Huh? There was no death.
Right.
There was nothing dark.
Right. That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
It was beautiful.
Right. Yes.
But that was his intention. That we can live in that environment, in that state, where everything was there for us. Brother Wethy was talking about the other night. He said that God is no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he created all this so that we can live in that environment. We can live in that environment. Praise God. So obviously, you know, we must have been something that he was really, he felt so, you know, his love for us was just, he wanted to overwhelm us with his love.
Yes.
So obviously because of that, guess what? We must be special to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Amen.
We must be special to him. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
So
when we talk about paradise, the abode of Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, you think about that. And then, you know, heaven is a paradise. That is our goal today.
Right. Amen.
To make heaven our home.
Amen.
To make it our home. And that's the ultimate abode of God's people. But when we talk about paradise, and here's the definition of paradise. Listen to this. An ideal or idyllic place or state. So people think about that and they think about, man, this would be the ideal. How many of you ever heard that? Somebody say, this would be the ideal life.
Right.
Amen.
But the way man perceives it is not the way God perceives it.
Amen.
Right. Their ideal life, you know, it might be a nice home and material wealth, you know, a number of material blessings, automobiles, and maybe a big financial blessing, maybe a big bank account. That's their ideal life, which is where a world that, you know, they could have everything that they need. But, you know, that's just the way human nature is. They don't think about the eternal. They think about the temporal, the things that make them feel good just for a little while. But here's the thing. God wants to bless us.
Amen.
He wants our surroundings to be able to be such that we can experience the life that he wants us to have. Amen. And so we see that, we see that then. And so to a lot of people, paradise is that ideal or ideal place or state of to live and to exist. But amen. What we need to do is we need to wake up to reality.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Reality.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. So here we are, verse number 17. And look, this paradise, this place that God created for man was obviously compromised, and because sin came into the picture, they could not live there no more. So as a result, they were evicted. They were evicted from the Garden of Eden. And then the Lord drove them out. So this was their judgment for that. This was their judgment for them falling into sin. They changed one environment for the other. You know what? You know what made that place so beautiful? This is what I guess I might have missed. But it was a beautiful place to see, a beautiful place to experience. But you know what made it even stand out more? Was the presence of God.
Right. That's right.
Because they were blessed to be able to walk in that garden, but guess what? God's presence was there.
Amen.
And so that's what made it more beautiful. That's what gave it the beauty and the life that it had. So because of their sin, they were evicted. So they changed one environment for the other environment. So this is what happened to them. In verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also of thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Man. What an interruption. What an interruption in living in such a beautiful place. And now his life was going to be difficult. Everything about his life was going to be difficult. There was going to be struggle. Huh? They were going to encounter different forces that were going to come against them. So that experience they had of, you know, the ideal life, that life of paradise, was no more. Now they were going to live in a different environment where things were going to be a lot more harder than it was when they were in the garden. No wonder the scripture says, the way of a transgressor is hard. Woo! How many of you ever realized that, living in the world before you knew the Lord? Seems like everything you did is just like, you know, get to one point and you thought you were doing good, and all of a sudden here comes, woo, this all taken away in a moment. And you wonder and you wonder and you try and you try and you work, but yes, guess what happened? It just keeps on going. Let me tell you something. Sin is like that. Seems like we never gain when we're living in sin. We always lose. And that's the environment that people live in. It's like, praise God. How can, and not just in a sense in that way, but even what they experience as far as there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no love that they can really, amen, experience in that life.
Amen.
Woo! My. The ground is cursed. The ground is cursed. Whatever we do, and this is why I'm saying this, whatever we allow in our lives as far as sin is concerned, doesn't just affect you, it's going to affect your environment around you.
Amen.
So that's why we experience the things that we experience. Thinking about a gentleman who was trying to find some kind of remedy for his health and suffering certain things in his body. He came across this website about holistic healing. And there they were teaching their theory or their philosophy was that in order for since we're made of dust and that's what the human body consists of, all those elements of dust, they said our theory is that in the earth there's a lot of minerals and things like that, so if you want your body to be healed, connect yourself to the earth. So you know what he did? You know what they say? They said, strap on a piece of, and I don't know what kind of material it was, but they would drive a spike into the ground and attach that piece of wire or whatever it was, and then you take it and you put a bracelet around your ankle, and then you connect that piece of wire to your ankle, and the life that's in the ground, that source that's in the ground, is going to move through that wire and it's going to touch your body, and guess what? You're going to receive healing. So that person was sold out to that. He said, that makes sense. So he did that very thing. And amen. So, yeah, obviously, it didn't work. So here's the thing. He was trying to find some kind of, direction or, you know, find a remedy. Somehow, my name was thrown in there, and my number was given to him. So he calls me. He tells me what's going on. And I said, I'm not going to say his name, but I said, you know what? I said, and he explained everything about what he came to, what he was told. And I said, why would you want to do that? I said, do you know the scripture? You know what the scripture says? And he said, what's that? I said, the Bible says the ground is cursed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I said, why would you want to connect yourself to something that's cursed? And there was a long silence. See, man thinks differently. Man always tries to pursue another route, another way. Always tries to find that remedy or that cure or even that place where they can experience whatever it is looking, their utopia. Their state of mind and being where, you know, they could experience that peace, and they can experience that joy, and whatever it is they're looking for, whatever it is they want to find, something that would bring satisfaction and contentment to their lives. That's what they're doing. That's why a lot of people just go out of the way to, amen, invest in a lot of different things to try to find that, to try to secure it. But guess what? They're finding out, hey, that's not the answer.
Amen.
People don't realize it. What they really need is the presence of the Lord in their lives.
Amen.
They need the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So we come to that place, and when you understand that, here's something that we need to realize is this, and Brother Wesley quoted the scripture last night as he was preaching, but, you know, Jesus said this. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal,
right,
and to kill,
yes,
and to destroy.
Right.
That's everything that is there, and we could all relate to that, can't we?
Yeah.
The things that were stolen from us,
mm-hmm,
the things that were destroyed, the things that were killed in our lives.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we experienced. That was our environment. That's what we existed in. That was in our hearts, in our mind. That was our thinking. That was our mentality. But here comes Jesus. And he's speaking. You know what he says? He says, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can have a different choice. You can have a different life if you realize how close you are to the kingdom of heaven. It's right near you.
Amen.
All you have to do is reach out.
Right. Thank you,
Lord. Let it touch you.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
So you think about that. In order for us to be able to experience. And when Jesus said that, he said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Woo! My. So here we're given. Amen. We're given that promise, and here he's speaking to us the reality of what it is when it talks about, you know, life, eternal life, when it talks about joy and peace, love and the Holy Ghost. How many of you in here are content?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Yes. Are you content?
Yes.
It's good to be content.
Yes.
I'm talking about just where you are in the Lord. How many of you are really happy?
Amen.
Happy, isn't
it? Amen.
I'm being happy. But that's how I feel.
Right.
That's how I feel because of what God's done in my life. And amen. I don't want to change anything for it.
Right.
Because I love being in this state of mind, in this state of being.
Amen.
So as a result, guess what? It has obviously affected the environment that is around me.
Amen.
Where we live.
Amen.
This is where it starts.
Amen.
This is where it starts.
This is where it starts.
It's where it begins. So you think about it. You think about it. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians chapter 5. This is what it says. In verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Right.
But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
Amen.
Now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's everything that we inherit when we walk in sin. That's everything we inherit. That's everything that is there that exists. You know what? Can you realize, can you understand this? Since the day we were born, of course, the Bible says we were shapen in iniquity. We were born into sin, shapen in iniquity. From the day we were born into that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's all our life consisted of.
Amen.
That's what influenced us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made us what we were before we came to know Christ.
Right.
But here's the thing. God never created us to live in that way.
Right.
God never created us to walk that way.
Right.
He never created us to live that way, to think that way. He never created us to have behavior like that.
Right.
He created us that so that we could live a life of, you know, goodness and righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And holiness.
Amen.
And joy. Yes. And peace. And all these other virtues that come as a result of his presence. And so that's what he created us. But we were so used to it. It's just like we lived it. It was like breathing. It was like second nature.
Right.
Our actions, everything we did, it was the result of sin.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, guess what? Our environment, everything around us, all those things existed.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! My. That's the reality of it. And we all know that, don't we?
Amen. That's right.
We've come to a place where we just totally succumb to all those negative virtues. That's a lot of them, isn't it?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Sure is.
When you go back and you look at that list and you go down that list, and you could probably identify the way you used to be.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
All those things that were there. But here's the thing now. This is the reason why I say this. You know, I went to school to study psychology, behavior psychology, and to try to understand everything about human behavior. And one thing I want you to understand is this. In psychology, of course, the word maturation is used differently. I guess it's how you apply it. If you apply it to as far as like the things of the world, the science of the world, the things that happen in the world, or you can apply it to like the study of human behavior. So the word maturation, and this is something that is really interesting. Amen. Means this: it's the process in the way that we develop. It's the environment that is around us, the process in the way that we develop. And as I said, God created us to live a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
God created us to live a certain way. Did you realize this? There's something in your being that is a reminder of your God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Huh?
Amen. That's right.
That's your conscience. Mm-hmm. That's your spirit. Whenever we come to a point in our lives where we're doing something, and especially if it's something that is not so good, a little red flag goes up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And if you're not so, insensitive, even to your own spirit, you'll feel it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You experience it. And that's what you call conviction. There's a little conviction there that tells you, hey, you better not do that. Because if you do, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be some consequences.
Right.
And we're reminded of that, and we can pay attention to it, and we can take heed, and we can say, okay, I'm not going to do it. But a lot of times, the majority of our time when we were living in sin, guess what? We went ahead and we did it anyway.
Right.
We did it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, guess what? And like Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 25, that God is no respecter of persons. He said that if we do wrong, we're going to suffer for the wrong that we have done.
Amen.
So we understand that whatever we did, there were consequences to our sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we suffered the punishment, the judgment of that. And guess what? Here's the thing. We did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't like carrying this burden. I don't like carrying the things that, amen, I have allowed myself to amen, experience or to even live as a result of my rebellion,
mm-hmm.
my disobedience.
Amen.
All of us were like that, weren't we?
Amen.
We would wake up from a hangover and say, why did I even do that?
Right.
Why did I even put myself there?
Right.
Wake up sometimes with bruises and all kinds of stuff, or in other situations, other consequences, waking up, well, you know, why did I allow that to happen? Why do I have to experience this? But, you know, that's what sin does.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all there. But here's the point I'm trying to prove to you. This is what I'm saying. We adjusted to it. Even though God never created us to live that way.
Right.
He never created us to be that way. Mm-hmm. He never created us to be adulterers,
right.
Fornicators.
Mm-hmm.
Never created us to be unclean, or he never created us to harbor lasciviousness or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Never created us to be idolaters or to be partakers of witchcraft. He never created us that way.
Right.
But that's what sin did. But guess what? Here's the thing. We adjusted to it. We adjusted to it.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we lived.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's something. Now listen to this. Here's something amazing. Never realized this. In coming to the truth, that's why that statement is so powerful. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Amen.
So when you come to that point where you, when the truth comes and you see it and that light shines and you see it, you can see it clear.
Yes.
It's very definitive.
Yes.
And you see that and you go, wow, that's amazing.
Yep.
The reality is we really see.
Mm-hmm.
We really see how it should be for you and I.
Right.
We really see, and the thing about it is, it takes us back to that moment of time where at one time mankind was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amen.
So as a result, guess what? That was basically, you know, that because of that experience, it was, how can I say, planted or ingrained in us. And that's why a lot of times I think, that's why a lot of people say, is there a God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on,
man.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Going through certain things, I remember it happened to me several times. I would say, and I knew there was a God. Somehow in my spirit, I knew there was a God. I may not have acknowledged him like I should have in my life, but whenever I was in that moment where I was reaping what I sowed, and I didn't like what I was feeling, my spirit was bringing conviction upon me. So I would say in my mind, you know, I know there's a God. God, you know, I know you're real. And so I would just, you know, somehow just a few words saying that, man, I sure need your help. Because I knew. Why was that? Because that is something that is innate in us as his creation.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go back to the very, amen, source of life that we started out with. We want to go back there. So that's why we do that. Something. So you think about that. Maturation. You know what we've done? We've just adjusted to it.
Mm-hmm.
We adjusted to that life.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we were never created to live that way. Something that, amen, that was just kind of out of place.
Amen.
Out of place. You think about it. When scripture talks about righteousness and truth and salvation, and when it happens to us, guess what happens? Because of our experience in the Lord, everything is put back into place. Everything is put back into order.
Amen.
Takes us away from the life that we lived, and everything was chaotic. There was no order. There was nothing there. But here comes the truth. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And everything is put back in that place with God.
Right.
Amen. The place that we need to be. So you think about that. Maturation.
Yes.
Process of development. Being adjusted. We become adjusted to that kind of living. I mean, I had to laugh one time. Brother Gerritsen was talking to us. And he posed a question. And he was just, I think he did it because he wanted to get our attention. And he says, how many of you were smokers? So a number of us raised our hands. He said, I got news for you. So I was waiting to hear something really deep. some kind of deep insight. He said, I got news for you. He said, none of you were smokers. So we all like,
looked at each other like,
he said, none of you were smokers. You were just a sucker on the other end. The cigarette was the one that was doing the smoking. How we perceive things. How we perceive things. How we've let our see, this is the reason why I believe that every person, you know, Paul talks about that in the book of Romans, that all creation groans. They groan. They're waiting for, amen, that time when the sons of God, he says, the sons of God, they're looking for that. Even though they might, you know, profess to be atheists or agnostics or whatever it is that they profess, you know what, deep down in the core of their being, they know there is a God. And they know that, amen, there's a possibility that God will exist. So you know what, they're going to be searching for it. You know why? Because they're not happy with the state of life that they are experiencing right now. Ooh. Come into a place like this and all of a sudden you,
Holy Ghost falls on us.
Man, that's a beautiful feeling, isn't it?
Amen.
Ooh, I was sharing with Brother Wethy, and I was trying to remember her name. Was it Joanne Young? Or remember she came up here and got the Holy Ghost? Came up here and got the Holy Ghost. God restored her sight, healed her right leg, filled her with the Holy Ghost.
Mary.
Yeah. Just that one time. And you know what? That was the last time we seen her. But God did that.
Yes.
Sitting right up there. Woo! God's that good.
Amen.
He'll give everybody an opportunity to change.
Yes.
To experience what it is that he, yes, to let them know he's real. And she got it all that morning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Woo! Several others. Elder Deborah sitting back there.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, an angel touches her. Pushes her head back, and guess what? Her sight was restored.
Amen.
Because that's the environment. Let me tell you something, saints. Wake up. It's the environment we're in right now. That's the environment that is here right now. It's more than just the cushion chairs you sit on, and the carpet you walk on, everything's more than that. God is here.
Amen.
That's the environment that we come into.
Amen.
Where his spirit abides.
Amen.
Woo, how come we can never come to that realization?
Amen.
Man, you get up here and you can feel that anointing of his spirit. It's like,
come on.
If you could ever understand, if you ever can experience that, you'd know what I'm talking about, man. You could feel it. It's like, wow. Wow. But see, in all our ungodly living, we're so used to that environment we used to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
That's what I believe, that's what prevails. It's always that struggling with that. Going back to that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Going back to that.
Amen.
Here we have the Lord right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that.
Amen.
Not battling here. Not battling here. So you think about it. How could we, and we can change it. We can experience. We can allow the Lord to move in our lives, and that's what it's going to take for us once we realize that. As far as His presence is concerned, I thank God that I received the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. I thank God I was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins, but that wasn't the extent of my salvation. That's not the extent of yours. God wants to bring the kingdom of heaven into our lives. So when he brings the kingdom of heaven into our lives, guess what's going to happen? It's going to affect the environment around us, because we're going to walk, amen, in the dimension or the realm of that kingdom. My. It's hard for some people to comprehend that. You go home and you scratch your head and you go, what was that pastor was talking about? You might even say, didn't even make sense. Well, the natural man doesn't receive the things of God.
That's right.
Foolishness unto him.
That's right.
But here we are. That's reality. Some of us are in between environments. Some of us are still existing in that environment, the old environment. When God wants to bring you to that place, it's that struggle, it's that battle. Hallelujah. So here we are. Man, the power of his presence.
Amen.
The power of his presence. What God can do if we allow him, if we give him liberty, if we open up that door to him. Something, isn't it?
Amen.
And that's why he was trying to tell his disciples, that's why he was trying to say, amen, when you pray, pray like this.
Yep.
You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All this, thy will be done.
Huh?
Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Woo! In other words, you know what he was saying? Invite heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
Invite heaven into your life.
Right.
Let it come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. It's kind of something you could read the two different passages of scriptures. One says on earth, the other one says in earth. What does that mean? Well, what's he talking about? Obviously, guess what? It needs to be in us.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
The kingdom principles need to, we need to, amen, allow the kingdom principles to live in us.
Right. Amen.
When it lives in us, it's going to live in our environment. Right. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the heaven will come on the scene. Let me tell you something. Amen. We're not really home yet. We're not in heaven. We're not in that paradise. But guess what? We can have a little bit of heaven here on earth, can't we?
Yeah.
We can experience those, amen, manifestations of God. See, God wants us to know that. So that's why he said, joy, peace, and love in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They can prevail if we let them prevail.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here we are. My. My. Here we are. And opportunities given to us and what we going to do? What we going to do? We going to make it a reality?
Right.
Are we going to make it a reality?
Mm-hmm.
In our lives?
Mm-hmm.
I know it can happen.
Yep.
I've seen it. I felt it. I've experienced it. I've seen things that, you know, have blown my mind. Like, why is it? Why is it? You know, you think about it. You think about it. I just can't. I can't. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied because when I was born into this, when I talk about being born into, I'm talking about the born again experience. In my youth in the Lord, I was exposed to the power of God. I was exposed to everything that God can do in my youth in the Lord. So when I seen it, when I experienced it, when I felt it, let me tell you something. He just put in my mind, you know, how real he was. It just blew my mind. I was thinking, God, man, this is something, because is God this real? Yes, he is. That's why you've seen the manifestation of all these miracles, the power of the Holy Ghost, and that was, and we experienced it, and it was just like, man, this is too good to be true. So when you're introduced to something that you know is pretty significant, are you listening to me? And you see that and you go, wow. You know what? I don't want to settle for anything less.
Right. That's right.
Because I totally am so, amen, joyed and overwhelmed with what I have felt and what I have experienced.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But you know what? You know what that is? It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. It's the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. The sad thing is there's so many people, so many souls. Man, you talk about a pastor's burden and the burden we carry. People that come to the knowledge of the truth, people that are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you think that, wow, God is doing a work in their life. And what they've experienced, that supernatural experience of being born again, you think that because of that experience, man, woo-hoo, they're going to be right there. They're going to hang in there.
Right.
They're going to go after it.
Right.
They're, and the thing about it is, if we let the Lord lead us, you know what?
Right.
If we do everything that the Lord, puts in our lives, everything that, you know, the scripture says, guess what? We're not going to fall.
Right.
He's given us the very element that we need so that we can succeed and we can prosper, we can grow, we can develop. That's His Spirit.
Yes.
But our problem is this. We don't humble ourselves. We don't let the Spirit of God lead us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pray.
Mm-hmm.
We don't seek God.
Yeah.
We don't study. So as a result, guess what? That precious gift that we receive, guess what? It just seems to be overpowered by our human nature. And there we go, boom. And so the wonder they still live in that environment.
Right.
Amen.
They still live in that environment.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And here's the thing. They say, well, if this is the way God is.
Come on.
Yeah. Right.
No, that's not the way God is. You're missing the point.
Yes.
If you walk in the Spirit,
yes.
If you live in the Spirit,
yes.
You're going to have a different. You're going to be in a different environment.
Amen.
That's right.
You're going to have a different experience.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So you think about that. Think about that. Things that God has given us in 2 Peter chapter 1. And you see here, of course, the Apostle Peter's talking about several things here, but he talks about in verse number 4, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
Of the divine nature. You might be partakers of the divine nature. And praise God. He said that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of that environment.
Right.
Coming out of that environment. And beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, now look what he says. If these things be in you, and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Woo. Changing one environment for the other. But look at what has to take place. The process is this. It's the power of his presence in your life that will allow you, amen, to experience this. It's the power of his presence. So he says, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Coming to that place where we can, you know, obviously be nurtured.
Amen.
You can grow. You can develop. You can change.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And see, that's what God will do for you.
Yes.
That's what God will do for you. So you think about it, saints. Think about it. It will change not just your being, not just your personality, not just your character, but your environment.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
I love the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I love his presence. It's something to wake up with his presence, isn't it?
Yes.
He's made it very personal because that's why he filled us with his spirit. That's why we're filled with the Holy Ghost, so that it's very personal. We can wake up. But our thinking is that we tend to put his presence aside from ours.
Right.
When all the time he should be right here.
Right.
So that's why we have the difficulties we have. That's why we struggle the way we do. Yes, we suffer certain things. Yes, we're afflicted. Yes, we have trials and we're tested and we face adversity sometimes, but yet we still got the power of God in our lives. He'll always keep us in that state of mind where we can always experience his love and his joy and peace and have his power in our lives. And that's what I truly, truly want to always have and always keep, amen, in mind, living for him. So it's, you know, you think about it. It's important for us to understand, to really understand. So that's what the Lord wants us to have. Praise God. And that's what Jesus said. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I appreciate the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
I appreciate your patience this morning. Let's continue to be in prayer. Because I know, you know, there's so many possibilities. There's so many possibilities. Anything can happen and probably will. And that's what I want to experience. We come into the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking forward to the Lord moving again. Looking forward to his presence. And hallelujah. So we'll continue to pray. We'll continue to try to understand what his will is. And Lord willing, if we go on, we go on. If we don't. But God knows. And that's what I want to do, is just to obey his will. So thank you very much for what we've done for this morning. Thank you for coming. God bless you. And greet one another in Jesus' name. We'll see you at 2:00.